Saga Egmont presents The Guest House by David Mark, read by Laura Ferries. Author's note. Some of the locations in this book are real. Some of the houses actually exist. However, the events going on within are entirely fictitious. Any similarity to real people or genuine events are entirely coincidental and a bit bloody worrying. For Cal, whose spirit is mirrored in the land where she spent too short a life. Raw, forbidding, darkly beautiful, Cal is forever Ardna Merchan. Earth, that nourished thee, shall claim thy growth to be resolved to earth again, and, lost each human trace, surrendering up thine individual being, shalt thou go to mix forever with the elements, to be a brother to the insensible rock and to the sluggish clod, which the rude swain turns with his share and treads upon. The oak shall send his roots abroad and pierce thy mould. From Thanatopsis by William Cullen Bryant. Prologue. January 18th, 2:14 a.m. 56 degrees, 44 minutes and 7 seconds north, 6 degrees, 32 minutes and 17 seconds west. A sea of smashed glass, snow and ice, ocean and darkness, a barbed frieze of ash and teeth and steel. 5 miles from the west coast of Scotland, the elements become a maelstrom of power and violence. The Atlantic has saved its fury for this final stretch of water, a final lethal punch thrown by a fading adversary. Here, nearing the wild, sawtooth peninsula of Ardna Merchan, the sea and sky seem to conspire. The snow becomes a blizzard, the stormy waters now almost biblical in their fury. Where the water meets land, it attacks as if trying to claw great chunks of earth within its embrace. A metal tube, crow black, moves like a sluggish torpedo towards a serrated curve of land. Ahead, the glow of the lighthouse. Yellow light transforming the tumbling snow into lace handkerchiefs and shredded bridal gowns. Soft light bleeds in through the dirty glass, illuminating a space that reeks of petrol and unwashed flesh. An assemblage of metallic squares, each black with shadow and grime. This is neither a ship nor a submarine. It is partly submerged, its single turret and tail visible above the foaming tide. The belly of the vessel droops below the waterline. It is 15 feet from bow to stern. A wave hits hard, slaps at this tiny machine as if it were a tick burrowing into flesh. The craft rocks, sways, ploughs onward, rivets and plates shuddering as if beaten with hammers. To the men within the belly of the black orca-like vessel, it is as if God has plunged his fists into the frigid waters and begun to stir. Inside, 4 men, sweaters, cotton undershorts and bare feet, shivering and grumbling, their lips moving around the butts of glowing cigarettes. They move with the gait of those more accustomed to the movement of the ocean than of the land. They are sure-footed, despite the ice and snow and the up-down, up-down surging of the sea. They have seen far worse weather than this. Have known nights so cold that each breath is an agony. Nights when they have felt as though their skeletons had transformed into an assemblage of icicles and their skulls no more than packed snow beneath a layer of meat. Their limbs ache. Their bellies growl. They stink of fish guts and oil, of smoke and brine. They do not complain. At the tiller is Araldo. He's thin, but there is a strength to his wiry, featherweight physique. Beneath his scratchy, ill-fitting clothes is a frame that is all ridges and hollows, muscles sliding over one another like the protective plates of a suit of armour. Here, in the darkness of the cabin,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?